Turn the channel. It's time. Fuck the fun and games. It's time to change things. Every topic that we drop is gonna be on top. Front of your pineal. Breaking it down to the subliminals.
Welcome to the podcast. The Sport Against Life podcast. Buckle podcast.
I am the Red Dragon.
Man, I'm so controlling, Mike and Globe holding, man. Loving this beautiful, beautiful day, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, man. I love the rhyme you got there. That's good.
You know what I mean? It just came to me. It kind of fitted itself on me, you know?
That's good. That's good. I hear you work with a lot of young folks and doing the boxing and all that.
Yeah, man, I got a nice boxing program, man. Me and Brother Bay, man, is putting it together along with a few other projects that we're working on as well. And everything's coming together, you know, step by step, brick by brick, should we say, you know?
That's excellent. That's excellent. Our youth need that kind of discipline.
Man, it's how can we say it? This is a quote from, I believe his name is William Lloyd Pye. He wrote a book some of my years ago. It was called The Science of Human Nature. Right? And it is a beautiful print-on-demand book. And one of the things that it said in there was, the youth must undergo the same teachings that we went through to develop them into better human beings for themselves as well as the community. Meaning the same vigorous things that we had to go through, our arithmetic, our math, our schooling, our moral structures, our spiritual structure, excuse me, all of those things has to be implemented. If not, the teachings will be lost in time. And I was on the mic the other day and I asked, how many people remember those ass whoopings that your parents gave you? Everybody clapped. I said, well, how many went back and said, you know what, mom, you know what, dad, you know, thank you for them ass whoopings. It made me a better person. Because, right, and this is how we know that we got old game, right? Let's say my mother's mother. Let's start there. My mother's mother was 1914, 1918. Let's call it 1927, if you will, right? Then my mother was born. So my grandmother taught my mother how to clean, how to do this, how to get more, how to work, how to be a stand-up person, how to carry yourself. Then when she had children, my mother passed the information that she received from her mother, likewise as my grandmother received from her mother. So the line was never broken in terms of willing this information forward. And in a great degree, that information is the true heirloom of the family. It's not the lap that my great-grandmother left behind. It was the teachings of becoming is the heirlooms of the family. So then in turn, I received those teachings and I couldn't wait to pass them on to my children. Some people say, I ain't gonna get my child, the new generation go, that was under those teachings go, man, my mama used to wake me up for, my dad used to wake me up in the middle of the night to wash dishes. I ain't gonna do my son like that. I ain't gonna do my daughter like that. You have just not passed on the teachings. Because it's not about waking you up in the middle of the night. It's about you finishing and doing your job task or your chores, because your chores create the discipline, and that discipline is what you will function inside of. And if you didn't have to get up in the middle of the night because you forgot, that might make you forget a lot of things that you need to be doing.
Man, it's the truth. They need that rites of passage.
That's what we're missing. Mm-hmm.
we're not getting them rights of powering through difficulty and coming out on the other side. We don't get that experience.
Yes. Yes, brother. Yes. To make a long story short, I'm going to say yes to all of that. And because of that, this is the reason why we cannot forget to pass the lessons forward. And as you can see in this generation of time, and I'm pretty sure it's just not in Oakland, it's just not in North Carolina, it's just not in Colorado, it's just not in New York, it's a gap with the teachings. And this is the reason why our youth of the day don't have a angle or a path to go down, because we as the parents, we let them down. We didn't pass on the teachings. And I'm saying that collectively, not individually. Because if you're in the house with your son or your daughter and her friends don't have a father in this situation, you'll see the difference in those children, unless the mother is like, no, you're going to get these lessons. Even if I got to beat these lessons into you to save your life later, you're going to get these lessons. By not giving them the lessons now, we're enhancing tragedy. The opportunity of them failing is greater without the teachings. Their opportunities for success of knowing how to act, knowing how to eat, knowing how to carry yourself, having the vibe of knowing when you're making someone uncomfortable, your disciplines will get you shut out from many a doors, brother, just by the way you act.
And it's sad because a lot of the mothers didn't have that structure themselves, so they don't have anything to pull from.
See, now right there, and most of the time, the mother innately, that love without balance will turn a child spoiled, and a spoiled child turns into a thief and a killer.
Yeah, that's so real.
Especially a man child. You spoil him, you getting him everything, and God forbid that there comes a time that there's a difference in your financial structure and you have to cut back. He's not going to understand that. She is not going to understand that. So what are they going to do? They're still going to go get it by any means, because you have made the path so easy for them to ascertain things without work. We have made it so easy to get things without work because we love our children. And if we love our children, we will not shelter them from the discipline that makes them better people.
Oh, man, that is so true. And the love is not always easy.
Mm-mm. No, you know what? As a coach, I say this. Very few people in life want to see you win, young man, young lady. Very few. Can you tell me who they are? Sometimes they don't know. Sometimes they'll say, well, my dad and my mom. Absolutely. Your mother, your father, and your coach, for sure, you can rely on, want to see you win. Now, as a coach, some of the lessons I'm going to teach you to help you win will be easy. And then some of those lessons that I'm going to teach you to win is going to be difficult, hard to learn. And if you walk away from it, then you're walking away from your opportunity and chances to win because you didn't take those lessons. Likewise with your parents. When they give you instructions, remember, they want you to win. So some of the lessons they give you is going to be easy. And some of them lessons is going to cause you to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning from a deep sleep because they need to see you win. Brother, who you expected to wash the tub out after you used it? You wanted me to wash it out? Nah, family, that it don't go like that, son. It don't go like that, daughter.
You know what? That's funny because that's what got me. I was probably about 6th grade, maybe 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, clean up this damn room. I'm from Illinois. She was like, clean up this damn room. I said, why did I always clean up this room? And she gave me one answer. She said, because you live here. That's your shit. And you're going to clean it up. And I was like, oh, you're right. It is my shit.
You know, hey, so hey.
Simple lessons like that make a difference.
it make you become a better person, right? Right? Because ultimately...
My brother taught me how to cook. I said, how do I cook? You're 4 years older than me. Probably about 10 again, 9 or 10.
Mm-hmm.
They said, read the damn directions.
Now, following directions is everything, brother.
I said, oh, and I know how to cook to this day because my brother told me that. I told him that last week, too.
Follow the directions, brother. You chimed in on something, and I wanted to expound on that thought. I believe it was, for example, I told my son the same thing. I mean, clean your room up. He didn't clean the room up. He looked at it like it took hours and hours and hours, so he looked at it for hours and hours and hours. So he didn't get it done. So when he came home from school, or when he was in school, I put a lock on the door with a key. And I set a couple pair of underwear out that he can use because they are my underwear. I bought them. I'm letting you use them. Couple underwear, couple underclothes, and two or three shirts in the same pants. You can't even go in the room. I'm going to let you sleep in the living room. He didn't like that. So by the time he grew an appreciation for his room, his space, it's my room. I'm letting you sleep. That's my bed. I'm letting you use it. Show me you know how to take care of your things. Show me you can do these things so I can have confidence in you when you get your first job, that you won't get fired for not sweeping the floor. So now when you sweep the floor at the house, I need you to scoot the tables out the way, brother. Because when you get to work, they going to check your work. And if your work ain't done, you going to get fired. Now, for a young kid getting fired from the job, 3 or 4 times after getting fired from a job, he'll never work again. It's a confidence thing. You dig what I'm saying?
Yep.
Then he'll never work again.
Motivation should be internal. The motivation should be a job well done.
And they learn that from the chores we give them.
Yep.
And that's why.
And when they do it right.
Yes.
If they do it right, most parents reward them. It's like, I appreciate you because you did that right.
Now, that's the system.
It ain't for the reward. The reward is only an indication that you're doing it right.
It's a privilege. You see what I mean?
Correct.
Like I tell my fighters, I tell my kids, when you're doing something wrong, everybody's going to say something. But when you're doing something right, nobody's going to say nothing because you should be doing it right anyway. You ain't going to get no applause for doing something right, but you're going to get scolded for doing something wrong. Now, with that, do you want people talking about you or do you want people quiet?
I know that's right.
So keep them quiet. And they catch a hold of that vibe. They catch a hold of that energy and go, you know what? Yeah, if I do this shit right, nobody ain't going to say nothing. I'm gone. It's time for you to wash dishes. You looking at the dishes. You making it a 20-hour job. But in reality, it's 15 minutes. And kids don't know the measurement of time. We must teach them the measurement of time as well. So they can look at that job task and go, oh, 20 minutes is done.
Right.
Not like, oh, man, it's a whole sink full of dishes. Oh, man, it's going to take forever to do. You done spend 4 hours contemplating on how long it's going to take you. You done took a 20-minute job 5 hours in. So that's why we have to stay on them about their chores, because chores leads way to discipline. Discipline leads way to you doing a well job and being able ultimately to trust you out in the world by yourself, because I know you know how to act. I know you know how to clean up behind yourself. Because you go to somebody's house and you... And you're leaving your stuff all around, I guarantee you, you won't get invited over again, or they'll talk to you from the porch. But you can't come back in here.
Nope.
Okay. Because they mama gonna say, they daddy gonna say, man, that boy, man, he left all that stuff here, had bags of potato chips. He didn't think to pick that up and throw it in the garbage can. No, he can't come back in my house. So that's why it's very imperative for us to teach the youth, our children, whether they're ours or not, because we all have We all live in a community where some of the kids that you know and deal with, they look up to you. And with that, and with that being said, the kids in my community that look up to me, that call me by my name, happy to see me, I always teach them something.
Yeah.
Got to teach them something because they're going to respect it. They're going to add that on to their mind later. When I look at a kid, I told a kid the other day, I said, how old are you? He say 14. I say, cool. I said, do you know who you're going to, have you ever met yourself at 18? He said, nah. I said, well, based on how well you learn now at 14, you're preparing yourself to meet the person you're going to become at 18. And based on what you're doing now, what type of person you think you're going to be at 18? Oh, I get it. So if you're lazy now, who are you going to be at 18? You're going to be a lazy dude at 18. But if you're always trying your best at 14, what type of person are you going to be by the time you're 18? Don't make a mistake at 14 that when you're 18 years old, you're still paying for that same mistake that you did at 14. You have to take care of the person that you're going to become now. So when you're 18, you'll be prepared to go to your next step, or you won't. You'll be left behind because you have not prepared yourself. Those are the lessons.
Yeah, it should never be about what you can get away with.
Right.
Or about what you do so you can prove it to yourself. You're not even in this world to prove it to the world.
Mm-mm.
You're prove it to you.
To become better for them.
How old are you, brother?
Yes, to become better of themselves and better for the community, brother.
Yeah.
Hey,
how old are you, can I ask?
Yes, you can ask, brother. I came home from Vietnam in 68.
Oh, man. I was born in 68, so you're older than me.
Yeah, I graduated at 12. Dr. Martin Luther King wasn't the only person that graduated at 12, brother.
Right. So you might remember on Schoolhouse Rock and probably Zoom and Sesame Street, they had that saying, the most important person in the whole wide world is you, and you hardly even know you.
Exactly. And that's why,
what affected me.
Exactly, brother. Exactly, man. So with that being said, we must continuously put the teachings forth, whether there are children or not, long as they respect you. If they respect you, then you can teach them. If they don't respect you because they don't have no respect in their house, well, the good book said, let the dead bury the dead.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't got no time for them. I don't have no time for them. They're going to have to show me a symbol or a sign that they're trying to become a better person, and then I can help them become a better person by helping them. I'm helping myself become a better man, too.
Correct. It's twofold.
It's a twofold situation, man. That's one of the key elements psychologically we suffer from, and just touching on that love topic, right? Because it's another twofold conversation that I want to have in it, and it's like, for us, we're ashamed to say, hey, it's Negro History Month.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to tell our coworkers. We ashamed, but our coworkers ain't afraid to tell us Saturday Cinco de Mayo. We about to be partying. Oh, Cinco de Mayo is about our people and the struggle that our people. And this is a Ramadan is about this. Is about that. Is about this. The Jewish say we celebrate this because it's that and it's that. They're not afraid to tell us these things, but we're afraid to celebrate Black History Month. Wow. I had a little kid, man. He's a Hispanic kid, right? Came into the gym one day. He's 7 years old. He came into the gym one day. He had a Morehouse shirt on.
Wow.
That was so dope, right? So dope. He had a Morehouse shirt on. You're right. He had a Morehouse hoodie on.
Wow.
So now, you know. Yes, of course he knew what it was. Yes. So much so he wants to go to that school at 7. Now, that's one of his goals in life, right? So, I have a bandana with a Marcus Garvey logo on it. So he said, "Coach, who is that?" I said, "It's Marcus Garvey, bro. You don't know who Marcus Garvey is?" He was like, "No, that's why I'm asking you, right?" So I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "Marcus Garvey, the way that I can take this science, break it down so a kid can understand it or overstand it." I said, "Well, Marcus Garvey was kind of like Muhammad Ali without the boxing, though. He stood up for the people." He said, "Okay, I get it. I get it." Man, this little kid is amazing, right? But he got it. I said, he's like Cesar Chavez.
Mm-hmm.
For your people. Marcus Garvey was that for our people. But he really wanted to know. His father is raising him so stellar, man. His father
is... That's rare.
Very rare. Very rare, right? His father is raising him stellar.
Anti-blackness is terrible in the Spanish-speaking communities.
I wouldn't say that. I'll say they have a priority on loving themselves, and they're not afraid to let the world know they love Mexico.
Yeah, that's different. I agree.
But right? We have a problem. Have we got the problem with saying, no, I'm an American, brother. I'm a Negro American, brother. I am not an African American, so in the next 20 years, you can put us all in the same pot. We didn't have the same struggle. No, I didn't have to run from hyenas. No.
Right.
No, no. My people had to run from motherfuckers in white sheets.
Like Muhammad said, he had to run from two-legged dogs.
Right. So you see what I'm saying? The unevolved. Mm-hmm. The unevolved. You know what I mean? So with that being said, I don't look at it that way. I look at my Mexican community, my Hispanic community, as a community that promotes love amongst themselves. I look at my Italian community as a community that promotes love amongst themselves. You know what I mean? Excuse me one sec. Excuse me, man. We live and direct on this podcast, man. Wherever the spirit hit us, we gonna get down and get at it fast. You know what I mean? So excuse me. But that's the way I look at it, man. I see it. There was a time where I thought everybody was prejudiced against us. I don't see that now. I just see them implementing love and not being humble about their love. We have been taught to be humble to the point of non-existence, brother. It's okay to be the best person that you can be. Don't downplay that.
And it's okay to love yourself and your own. That's not the issue.
That's the
anti-blackness I speak to. I'm experiencing it a lot, and I work in the schools. And there's that culture that's there, and not all of the children want to follow it. So I do get that part.
Right, right.
Not all of the Hispanic children, but it is there in the families, and I've experienced it firsthand. It's not because I see it that way. It's right. Because that's what they're doing.
Exactly. See, when you're teaching a child to love themselves, you teaching the separation first.
Right.
It has to be a separation first.
Right.
That has never been broken in their culture throughout thousands and thousands of years. In anyone's culture. The Irish dude is going to know about that Irish bread. The Polish dude going to know about that Polish sausage. He going to tell you the history of it because that's what got their people through the grimmest of times. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Right. All of these things. It's like we don't really take pride in our food no more. We call it slave food now. No, that's our cultural food. This is what the Negro ate before slavery, brother. Because the Negro was the Indian man, and the Indian man planted beans, and he planted this, and he planted this. He was the Indian man. He went from the Indian man to the red man. From the red man, he went to the Negro. From the Negro, he went to Afro-American, and from Afro-American, he went to African-American. God dog, how many times they going to change a nigga's name? How many times are they going to change a nigga's name?
All within our own lifetime. We just seen all of it.
How can they just change a person's name? So you got to understand the world is looking. Well, not you don't have to understand, but the world needs to understand this is how the world is looking at us. Someone from coming from a culture that only had one name. They've never been classified. An Ethiopian has never been classified under another name but Ethiopia. Ethiopia.
Right.
Right? A Nigerian only has been Nigerian. Only here.
And if they did have another name like Igbo or Amhara, it was their own choice. It wasn't forced on them. And they still identify with both names.
Exactly, brother. Exactly. Yeah. So with that, and that's a serious psychological woe that we suffer from. First is identity. It's the identity. From identity, we can re-embrace our culture. From our culture, we can re-embrace love. Because we have to remember, we were the original people living 18 people in a household, brother.
Mm-hmm.
We was the original people.
And the original people with the skilled labor.
Okay. All right.
In the household with 18 people.
Exactly. So then, all of a sudden, I can't have my cousin come over here and stay. He steal too much.
Mm-hmm.
No, my auntie can't come over here with her kids. Mm-mm. Hell no, that's out. Oh, you'll find somewhere to stay. It just won't be here. But we came
my
from
daughter
that.
Can't stay with me no more if she got pregnant at 16. She got to get out.
That right there.
We started at 72. We started doing that.
Right. Right. And then we started shaming our girls for being pregnant at 15, 16. But look at the damage it caused since we started shaming them. We're damn near a speck now because we're not reproducing like that. But everywhere, in every other culture, they understand that they need to have babies at 15, 16 to keep their count up, their people up, their culture up. Their
if it wasn't
love
natural,
up.
They wouldn't be able to do it. They wouldn't be able to have them if it wasn't natural.
Exactly. Exactly.
We're not in the type of society that nurtures us to be that responsible at that age. We were. We were a part of that culture.
Right, absolutely.
That's the other part, is we've had that in the past. A lot of people think we've always had problems, but we had it right for a long time.
Right, because in the 80s, that's the 90s or whatnot, when Planned Parenthood, their agenda was to break down the black population. And how did they do that? They made us feel ashamed of having babies at 15, 17, 16, 15 years old. Mm-hmm. Then we shamed our people. Then we stopped doing it. Then abortions kicked in. Now our birth rate is really low.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm not saying that there's a systematic plan against the people of America, the Negro of America, the red man of America, the Indian of America. And when I speak of Indian of America, I'm speaking to people that look like us. That
oh, I know who you're talking
about. The farthest I can send my money to is Texas. You see what I mean? I'm not sending my money out the country.
I'm Tennessee and Virginia.
So that's my point. That's my point. We're not sending our money out the country to help feed our family.
Right.
So that means we're here. We're here. We're Americans. On this
always
soil.
Been here.
Because we've always been here. Brother Bay has the history on how we allowed them to build a civilization on our dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And that glamorized our people to want to live in their civilization. Then that by doing so, we gave up all of our native rights to the land, and we forgot that we own the land that we allowed them to set up on.
Yep.
Oh yes. You want to something there now. Now that's the real piece. When you're speaking to about the brother from Mexico, right? Mm-hmm. And his family, and how they are, how he's reached outside of the culture and is looking at Morehouse. Did you say Morehouse, was it?
Morehouse,
right. Those people in that area, Mexico, that's still us.
Yes.
The separation is put there by somebody outside ourselves who is certainly a minority amongst the people on the planet and pretty much any place on the planet. And the trick is to make all these, this huge group and mass of people separated into 72 or 82 or 100 or 200 different classifications.
Yes.
Yes. Which are contrived based on languages a lot of times. Like Arabic people are Arabic because they speak Arabic. Mm-hmm. You Latinos speak the Espanol, speak the Latin languages. Okay.
Right.
All that stuff has to do with what language you speak. That's it. It's nothing to do with anything in your biological nature. So, and even the names, like you say, the colored man, mm-hmm. colored means affliction at law.
Something you cover up. Yep.
That's right. Just cover it up. Anything stained, varnished, dyed, having the appearance of similitude to something that actually is, but is a fiction. That's colored. So why wouldn't you call us colored people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the black, we already know black's an adjective. It's not a noun. It's not. How can that be? How can you claim to be something that just describes something?
Exactly.
Everybody else is a something.
Now that's the game. That's
true.
The game. And I think that's our issue, is identity is not solid.
That's the
by
first
human
thing.
It's not solid by human standards. And if we make it solid, we have the self-love developed from its foundation.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So,
and that's where I start with the love issue.
You gotta be love.
It has to start with self-love and self-perception.
It gotta be love. I'm gonna tell you the prime example. The other day, I gave a guy a note, right? He was on his way to the store. Well, he asked me, he was like, hey, man, Spartacus, man, you need something from the store? I said, oh, yeah, you know what? Since you're going, grab me two tees. I gave him $10. So I was already in a conversation with somebody. We was cracking some serious atoms. And I noticed, like, an hour went by, and he ain't came back from the store. So I said, oh. The thought was, oh, he ran off with my money and he went to go get high. My first thought was, when I seen, I'm gonna hit him upside his head. That was my first thought. Then my second thought was, this is the prime example. This is what we suffer from, this psychological illness. Right here, he need love. He don't need another head, not upside his head. And besides, he can be a stunt man. I slapped the shit out of him. He'll feel that, hey, man, that was a $10 slap. I don't owe you nothing. So when I seen him.
It's very strange.
Exactly. So when I seen him, he wanted to change the angle of the conversation to make me upset so I can do something to him. But I felt it. So I was like, brother, you just need some love, man. If you needed some money to go do whatever you went to go do, you should have just said, hey, man, let me hold $10. I need it. And if all I had was $10 and I consider you my friend, I would be willing to give you $5 of that.
Mm.
So then he seen me a couple days later. I was walking into the store. He said, "Hey man, do you you still want those tees?" I said, "No, no, thank you. I don't need the tees right now because I didn't." But I said, "If you do want to do something for me, I need some D batteries." Mm. Right? So I didn't box him out. I didn't embrace him in. As men, you made a mistake. And as a true man, you will reconcile your mistake. But I'm not going to not love you because you made a mistake. I will make sure you will never make that mistake with me again. So if you ever ask me if I need something from the store, that's out. And if you're upset about that, then maybe you weren't my friend at all anyway.
Exactly.
And I can live with that too. It's okay. But we need love. Love fixes us.
Mm-hmm.
Love fixes us, right? So with that being said, places where we normally get upset with each other is where we need to implement love a little more. I'm not saying be a fool, not at all. I'm saying hold your ground on your guard. Love needs protection too.
But you ain't lying.
Peace is guarded by war.
And this is the ancestors' words on that. I'm out of the book Hosea. I don't know if you're familiar with selections from Hosea.
Okay.
Sacred wisdom of ancient Egypt.
Okay.
And it says, "If you are angered by a wrong done to you by another, lean not towards remembering it, but towards righteousness. Pass over it quickly, and do not hold it in your heart after the first day that it happens."
There it is.
So it's not even telling you not to get upset. It's just saying don't stay upset.
Because you become tied to the ball and chain. It clamps to your anger, your ankle, because you won't be able to move very far from it. And I've seen this happen in our community a lot, to where the person just couldn't forgive. So you're walking around with this ball and chain that is not allowing you to live and grow in life because the dude cheated you out of
$10. And that's that artificial attachment to external forces.
Absolutely, brother.
And that's the lesson I usually try to give is, the first thing I ask the teenagers is, does man make the money or does money make the man? And you know, you work with teenagers. You'd be surprised, half of them say that money makes the man. Which makes me wonder, what are you learning at home?
Right.
Because if a man's face is on the money, it's kind of obvious the man makes the money.
Man makes the money.
Literally, it hit print. Right?
Man make the money so well, when he gets great at it, he can actually pull money out of his thoughts. He can conjure up an idea that will lead way to financial gain.
Now, see, now you done took it a step further. The man is the money, and he only makes what you think is money as the medium of the idea. You got it, man. That's
absolutely
exactly what the lesson ends up being. Is you're the money.
Absolutely.
Your thought, your energy is what's valuable, and what you place value on becomes the money.
Absolutely.
So the issue would be, if you don't want to be poor, then you have to place a high value on yourself.
There it is there.
That's it. That's the love. That's where it starts.
And that's where it starts.
The more you value yourself, the more you'll be valuable.
And you're right. And that's where it is. Excuse me. So with that being said, man, that's why just scatting over love, this that's where we're at as a community, the lack of love for each other and the lack of love for self. And also the billions of dollars that they're putting in front of us through movies, advertisements, music, clothes, because there's so many traps. Like, for example, this trap is not made for the ghetto. This trap is made for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I'm a young basketball star, and I just made $100 million check, right? I got a $100 million contract, right? So what the Iron Curtain will do is now advertise to them on a totally different level. You got to have these $10,000 shoes, man. And if you're gullible and you don't have a sense for finances, and then you'll buy that, you'll buy that, and you'll buy this, and you'll buy that, and at the end of your career, you're broke.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the red bottom shoes wasn't for the ghetto. The red bottom shoes is for the celebrities. Because they're in their own world fighting too, as we, with lesser financial opportunities, are definitely in another world where now I couldn't spend $5,000 on the red bottoms, but I spent $1,000. I spent $800 on these shoes. Seriously? Seriously, you spent $800 and you don't own no stock.
I was going to say, you could put that in some stock.
But it's not being promoted. It's not being promoted. Like for example, 98% of the rappers that's at the top echelon graduated from college. But no, not one of them, the main top five, top ten, has ever made a true album, a true song about the struggles that they had to go through to college to get to where they are here in the rap. Because I'm sure it'll be really dope. But now this college graduate is talking about selling dope. Now this college graduate is talking about pimping women.
Oh, man.
Because it hits the radio, because now the label owners or the distribution owners or whoever, they pay the money to make sure you see it on your timeline. They make sure it's right there on the radio. And remember, a young child, a developing mind, this is why music is geared towards children as well. A developing mind only wants to learn. It doesn't care what it's learning. That's why Lil Johnny know how to cook coke at 8 years old. Because he was watching his cousins and his uncles do it.
Yep.
Now, right? Right? Or Lil Johnny grew up in a house where his daddy and his mama always read books. They got a library at the house. Every time he look around, he see his daddy reading a book. He see his mama reading a book. Without saying nothing, Lil Johnny is going to gravitate to want to read books. Because all he wants to do is learn anyway. So it doesn't matter what they're learning. The fact that they want to learn, and us knowing that all they want to do is learn anyway, we have to put the right things in front of them to learn.
Yeah.
Now, right? But now our society, our propaganda, our television, they're making sure they get the wrong thing to learn. So as parents, we need to be a little more diligent. Like, why are you letting your child watch 20 hours of TV a week? I grew up in that. Right.
We're tired of nothing.
Right. My children grew up in a house where they had an hour a week for TV.
I know that's right.
And I hope y'all all don't like the same show. That's the glitch. Find the glitch. Then y'all can get 5 hours a week. Mm. Oh, you watch this show on Monday and your brothers and sister watch it with you? Okay, cool. Oh, but you watch that show on Tuesday. And you see what I mean? Let me know you're thinking. Instead of, all y'all like this show? This is what y'all all want to watch? And they said, yeah. I said, it's over with for the rest of the week. Then they came back and they thought it through. Dad, I would like to watch this show on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Still an hour a week. Each child get an hour a week of television. That's how my children grew up. Because they grew up in a household where they never seen me watch TV. They always seen me in the library reading and studying, training. that's what they grew into. I didn't have to force them. I knew.
Preparing for the future. That's what they don't get from a lot of adults.
Because what are the adults doing to better themselves?
They're wallowing a lot of times.
Right. Because we only learn how to be taught. The world, this goes beyond color. The world of general public has only learned how to be taught. Learning how to learn is where you're thinking about something. Man, I wonder, what is that? And then you stop and you go find out what that is. Self-enrichment right there.
That's the two forms of education. The one given to you. The one you seek. The one you seek is far greater. That's self-initiation.
Learning how to learn. This is, so no one has been, you learn through a question.
Mm-hmm.
The question arises. I don't know the answer. And then we learn it.
And that's something, you know, I cannot even front on. As a young person and as getting older, I would say 96%, probably even higher, of every question I ever asked myself, I found the answer. Somehow, somebody told me, I found it, I researched it.
Exactly.
The answer came to me just because I asked. And I had a real influential step aunt, my brother and sister's aunt, who have the same father and different father than me. She was a teacher. And she said, boy, don't you ever, ever quit asking questions. Because I used to ask everything. Why? You know, I was the quintessential why kid, child. And she was like, don't ever, ever not ask no questions. And to this day, I still remember her. She's more influenced than a lot of other people.
Now, with that.
The teacher, and I was like, bet, I got it. I was like 7.
Now, with that being said, right? Most kids, most people will come ask you a question. Or they're coming to seek the answer, not knowing that they can research the answer. So they'll come ask you the answer. Hey, man, I don't know this. And you go, oh, that's it. We're teaching parrots now. All he's doing is regurgitating what you told him.
Mm-hmm.
You go, I don't know, man. You need to look that up. The tools of looking up things is a dictionary, encyclopedia.
Right. I'll tell you how to find it, but I want you to come back and tell me what you found.
Ah, so now we're teaching how to teach.
Never mind. You just come ask me to go look in the dictionary again. I know.
Exactly. Yes, Blue. Yes, Brother Bay. And now it's on. Now, before they even come at asking me what I would deem a stupid question that you know the answer to or you know how to find the answer, then you can come back and say, bro, man, I was just looking this up the other day, man. Woo-dee-woo-woo-woo. You know anything about that? Yeah, man. I researched that topic as well. Now, that's a different type of learning. That's a soundboarding off each other. Now, what do you think about that?
That's a real conversation.
That's a real conversation because now I can ask you, well, what do you think about what you just read? And I kind of agree with it a little bit, but I kind of think that it went this way. I'm going to see if I can find some information that supports that. Now, that takes
you... That's when the elder says, why do you think it's that way?
Right.
And that's more learning.
And that's why that's why Word and Dictionary has dictionary explanation 1, explanation 2, explanation 3, 4, 5, and 6. There's very few words in the dictionary that just has one
definition.
Exactly. Exactly.
I just taught somebody that we did a day at the Capitol, learning how to lobby. I took some young folks from school down to the Capitol for the senators and the representatives.
That's big.
And they wanted to. One of them wanted to be a defense attorney. And I started asking basic questions, and they didn't know some of the answers. Some of them did. And I said, "Well, I'm gonna tell you a secret. If you go get you a Black's Law Dictionary and get you a Bouvier's too." You start looking up those words, you're going to have an easier time getting through that kind of learning, that kind of studying.
Absolutely.
You start now. Since you're still in high school, get you a dictionary. And you know, before they left, they said, don't forget to email me those books you just said.
Right.
Like, they ain't playing.
Right, right. Exactly.
So teaching how to is way better than teaching how to consume, right?
Exactly. When
we give them the answer, we teach them how to consume.
Right.
And to be parents, like you said.
That's all they're going to be, is parents, because they never took the time to research it. They just heard it. They definitely won't put it into action. The things you go study, you will actually use in your daily vocabulary. If I tell you something, you may not use it. You may forget it as soon as I tell you. But if you have to go research it, that's how it's hardwired into your daily vocabulary, your daily conversation.
Right. That is so true.
This, and man, and this is really what it is, man. I like to say, man, you guys have been listening to therapy sessions with Spartacus Life, and I'm going to let my brothers do the introductions of their names so you can remember them, tag them, look them up, and if there's anywhere to find you guys, please let the listeners know.
Definitely. I heard you do a podcast too, right?
That's exactly what this is right now, what we're doing.
Oh, we're on the air.
Right. And that was the punchline I just gave y'all. Just gave y'all a punchline.
He mentioned it earlier. I wasn't sure he was on the air this time. He did mention it earlier.
Yeah, I just gave you the punchline. If there's anywhere that these brothers that's listening to you can find you, do your wonderful works at, brother, please feel free to drop that information now.
Okay. Yep, I do a radio show myself called Deep Thought Radio.
Where can they find you at, brother?
Deep Thought Media is the website. And on that website is Deep Thought Radio. And I'm on Saturdays and Sundays at, 2 p.m. Pacific time.
Is it Deep Thought, for those that may not know? I just go Deep Thought Radio. Is it Deep Thought, www.com?
www.deepthoughtmedia.com.
See, they need to know that. I needed to know that.
And then it's Deep Thought Radio on
inside of the inside of the menu bar at that point.
Because what'll happen is it'll come up with Deep Thoughts with an S on it.
Right.
Radio, and that's not. It's Deep Thought Media. And the name of our show is the Deep Thought Radio.
Right.
So, and we cover a lot of good stuff, and similar to this.
So, right on point, because I'm still thinking about the listeners. So it's deepthoughtmedia.com.
Correct.
And once you're there, I can scroll through your menu bar, and it's Deep Thought Radio is what you're looking for at that point.
And when you click on Deep Thought Media, Deep Thought Radio will pop up.
Thank you.
And then just click on live broadcast.
Thank you. Absolutely. Brother,
and we cover some really good stuff. And we go through some good books. And, I was a bookseller for most of my adult life. And so we really, really good stuff.
You know, I had my children read a book by Ayn Rand, I believe her name is.
I remember her.
It's called The Fountainhead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a really great book that they made a foundation on it. And the book it's still a bestseller to this day. It, at one point, was mandatory college reading for freshmen.
Right.
Okay. So, with that being said, my athletes are on that book as well now. Because that book gives you a bird's eye peek of life, of politics, of friendships. It's you're watching life from a perch. You can see from afar that's not a good person. This is a good person. Oh, I like what they're going through, this, that, or whatever they're going through in the book. You get a chance to see that. And those parables of life are reflected in the real person's daily life. It better equips you for your first stages of independent living, independent creativity, That's why it's a strong suggestion for me to give to young adults and young kids. Outside of the fact that every year they give away a lot of money in terms of 25 third place winners may get $1,500 for writing an essay. Second place winner may be 15, 20 second place winners, and they may win $500, $2,000, right? And then the first place winners, they'll have 10 first place winners. And her organization is set up for, like, this could be one of the first places you can get a college grant from.
Wow.
So Ayn Rand, the Fountainhead, for everybody that's listening that got a young adult, teenager in their life, it's a beautiful book to have them see what life is really about outside of your presence.
How, that's Ayn Rand.
Yes.
R-A-N-D.
Yep. The Fountainhead, she'll pop up.
Yep, I got it.
Yeah, it's a...
Very good material.
Oh, man, it's an awesome book, man.
And it takes from what I understand about it, it talks to you about establishments versus your own thought.
Yeah.
And your own value.
Yeah, the freedom of thought. It teaches, it's a beautiful book, beautiful characters inside of that book. You know what I mean? It's really, really, really great book to read, man.
Are you familiar with The Richest Man in Babylon?
Yes. Yes.
That's a classic. I was given that as a teenager by my mother.
Beautiful. Beautiful book to read, man.
I think I was 15.
Man. It was something else that I wanted to say right on that note of... oh, yes. It's like every child needs to be abreast of the seven sins.
Mm.
And how that affects them in their life. And here's my example when I'm dealing with fathers, especially fathers dealing with boys. Because he has a son, his son has friends. Okay. And not knowing this can get your child killed. Not knowing how to identify this can get your child killed. Bro, you coming out tonight? Oh, man, I can't come outside tonight, man. Dad said I can't come out. Man. Look, we gonna be over here, man. Just jump out the window and come with me. Right? So he does that. Pops come check the room. No, he over there. Pops chastise him. They laughing at him. Ha, 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 ha. I don't get in trouble. You know why you don't get in trouble? Because you don't have a father in your life. He does. So secretly, this boy is jealous of him because he has a father. So he's looking to get him up in trouble at any chance he can. And then it can become so serious that this child can see that immense love that this father and son has and become so jealous of that, he'll kill his partner over it.
Mm. Mm.
So the children need to be abreast of the seven sins. Enviousness. How many kids that don't know what that is that get that suffer from it? And not know what it is. Gluttony. How many kids are overweight because they don't know what that sin is or what that spirit is or what that consciousness is.
Or need 20,000 pairs of shoes that cost $1,000 each.
Covetousness. Oh, you see what I mean? So imagine preparing your child this information before they go outside. Wow, their eyes will be anointed to see these things. Their ears will be anointed to hear for these things. Their senses will be anointed to sense these things and who they think are their friends. And at this point, now my son can say, you don't got to be mad because I got a dad. Come on, man. My dad loves everybody, man. Now you done changed the whole outcome of something. You created a different outcome. You dig what I'm saying? I bought my son a dirt bike. His friend ain't got a dirt bike. We go out of town. His friend jump in our backyard and steal a dirt bike. The neighbors say it was Tony. Oh. Jealousy. Now, I don't address it. Don't know how to address it. They don't tell me it's Tony. Tony think he got away with it. Now, my son's 17, 18. I get him his first car. Tony hanging out with other kids that ain't got no daddy. Now, you got girls liking my son. Girls they might like. Now, that's where they can kill my son at over that. Because they haven't been abreast, nor learned, nor been under the same rigorous teachings my child has been under. Or a child that has this in their life versus the child that don't. And this is how a lot of murders happen.
Yep.
And we can curb that just by teaching our children. Today we're about to learn about jealousy. So now I want you to keep an eye out on it. And this is how you stop it amongst your friends. Now we're going to learn about this. Now we're going to learn about this. Change the outcome of our future. We have the power to do it within ourselves. We don't need to ask for permission. But it's knowing what we're doing. It's everything. And that's knowing the teachings that you've been through. You got to make sure they get it. To oppose to hearing your daddy say, man, boy, that boy jealous of you. You don't like him. You need to stop hanging out with him. But never taught your son that old famous story. So now when your child is out and about, that story will ring in their head. Bro, that was, whoa, man, I don't even want to hang out with him no more. He's just jealous. I got to watch him. I don't trust him no more.
Yep.
Changes the outcome. Knowing changes the battle.
Mm-hmm. And knowing what to look for.
Changes the battle.
Steers you clear of even the war.
Exactly, brother. So.
You on it. I just looked up a term I'm using on my 6th grade females, young women of color.
Yes.
Because a lot of times at that age, they're what I call emotional terrorists. And this is what my lesson's going to be with them. And an emotional terrorist is a person who uses fear, guilt, and intimidation to control another person. Mm-hmm. It is a form of emotional abuse that involves psychologically manipulating, coercing, or intimidating another person. Emotional terrorists may be unaware of their actions or even realize they are doing them. Mm-hmm. They may use seemingly subtle or inconsequential text messages, body language, or short tones of voice to begin a surprise emotional sneak attack against a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, ex-wife, anyone. And they're also called hijackles. Mm. Hijackles are emotional terrorists who hijack a relationship for their own purposes and needs. And just even going over a definition and having people, young people particularly.
You take away the victim. You take away the victim now.
And you expose them in a safe space.
Exactly.
They can look at themselves and say, am I acting like that? Yes. Without even telling them you're an emotional terrorist.
Right. Or you've been suffering from it and not know what it is.
Not know what it is. Mm. And at that age, a lot of the females, this happens to males too, but mostly females, they have that power struggle over each other's, over control of each other.
Yes.
We're not going to talk to her anymore. She's not our friend anymore. That kind of thing.
Exactly, because she didn't want to wear red lipstick with you guys. She's,
exactly.
My mom said I can't wear lipstick.
Right.
Exactly. So, yeah, in essence, exactly, that's a good lesson to bring to the forefront to the youth. That will prepare them in the way they should go. Knowing is half the battle.
Being aware that not everybody is ignorant to the tactics.
Exactly.
So make sure you're not the one that's ignorant.
Exactly. That's what I see. That's exactly right. Because once you become conscious, you can stop it. Or you want it that's to go so with it.
And that these days, the boys suffer from it too.
Yes. More so now because the gang life, that's gang life.
Right.
That's the pre-mature development of gang culture.
Right. Because a good father helps a youth regulate their emotions. That's what a good father's there for.
Exactly.
They will test you and make you control your emotions.
A great father is as priceless as a great mother.
Exactly.
Period. Point blank. Because a great mother will find fatherly love for her male child to get.
Yep,
if she's conscious. Yep. Yes, she is. She'll bring him down to the gym. She'll put him on the basketball team. She'll explain to the coach, hey, his dad is not in his life like he should be. Maybe it's because of me. I don't know what it is, but I do know he needs male influence.
Yep, positive male influence.
Positive male. And then when we have a mother that's not aware of that, anything can happen to the development of that child, thus creating somebody terrible for society. Or she can have the old teachings and still create something great for society. But due to odds.
There was this episode on Ayanna Fix My Life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, her and herself, you know, every grown person has issues. So we're not going to go with what her issues are. The episode was so good. It was useful for everything. This was the episode, one of the episodes where the father had 43 children. And one of the mothers of the son, she made them do a ritual in front of the crowd, in front of the audience. And they stood back to back. The mother was standing behind the son standing behind the mother. And she had to pour out her truth. And she had to tell her son, I am so sorry for turning you into my dump bucket of rage and shame.
Wow. That was.
And when she did that, he started crying and they got healed.
Love. We can't be afraid to give love, love, man.
And love is not easy.
No, it is not.
Love is hard.
Yes, it is.
But it's worth it. It's the only thing that hurts that makes you better.
Love. Love. Man, love, man. Oh, man. May it vibrate throughout this universe. May the wanting is hear or feel this vibration. You know what I mean? And sometimes just speaking things into existence can create a change on a whole nother island.
Mm-hmm.
Just speaking it to existence, the consciousness will grow.
Mm-hmm.
The consciousness will grow. And that's what we're in it for. And once again, Spartacus Life, the soul controller, Mike and Globe Holder, man, having a beautiful time. I had a beautiful time with Brother Nebro. Say your name one for me one more time and tell me what it means again, please, brother.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, Nebra is the Kemetic Egyptian form of noble. The word noble is pronounced in the Egyptian language as Nebra, and it means Neb means Lord or the King of Metals. It's mm-hmm. also the symbol for gold.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ra is the life force. So it's the unchanging, pure life force is literally what it means. Mm-hmm. So when you're noble, it's not just being royal.
Exactly.
It's being the reflection of high character and moral development, moral character development. Mm. Which determines your nobility is the genuineness of your heart.
Man, sounds like the reflection of the sun, brother.
Right. And Nebra is a title. So when we instead of saying noble in English, I said Nebra in Kemetic language, which is the same word, same meaning.
Man.
And the name is Teoti. Mm. And Teoti is the American original version of Tahuti, which was the principle of wisdom.
Mm. No one with his wisdom, man, shining the light of wisdom. Sounds like the sun to me, brother.
So you'll hear us refer to you, the other brother on the line, as Nebra, and that's basically calling you.
Man, that's power, Nebra. Man,
that's what we give our young men is better tools. I was in a sixth grade classroom last year this time, teaching two classes of sixth grade boys. And okay. I kept hearing, you black monkey, you N-word, you this. They was talking so bad to each other, I couldn't take it. And so I just went through words. I said, well, we're going to go on an etymological journey today, y'all. Like, what's the etymology? Well, we're going to say what these words mean and where they come from and what they really mean. So we looked up black, Negro, colored, more, and the N-I-G-G-E-R. And we broke it down to where the source came from. Once they read that as a class together, then I said, why don't you call each other a more instead of calling each other these other derogatory terms?
Man, these obscenities. Yeah.
And they did. They started doing it.
Man, life changes, man.
And they'll never forget it, because I wish someone would have told me that in the sixth grade.
Well,
the Negro, yeah. Black, colored is negative. And you can change and flip the word like our people do, but it doesn't change the denotative meaning, which is the literal meaning of the word. So you subconsciously program yourself into negativity because you never took the, not you personally, but this is what I tell the children, you never took the time to find out what the word originally meant and who created the word.
The power of the word is, the spell is wrapped all inside of the power of the word, brother. I would like to say that. I am so delighted to see you. You thought the teacher was happy to see you. You didn't break the word down properly.
He lied to me. You put me in darkness coming around.
Oh, I thought you was going to be at home today. I thought you was sick. Yeah, I am delighted. Oh, little Johnny, I'm so delighted. Yeah.
You're so nice, meaning you're gullible, stupid, dumb, impressionable.
And I just told one of my young athletes the meaning of that word, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just told him that.
You got to know your stuff or you're going to get messed up. You got to know the language you speak or you're going to assume someone else created it.
Exactly.
When you might be throwing away the stuff you created.
Mm-mm-mm.
Man. Okay? English is not a pale European language.
No, it
most of us don't know that.
It runs a little deeper than that. It's more along the lines of alchemy, if you want to be precise.
Formulas. You got it, man. Formula.
Yeah, brother.
If you use the right terms, you can activate energy through the words of power. If you know the soul.
Incantations, you're absolutely right. Yeah, so with that, I believe also our mouths were only used for eating. There's so many other ways of communicating, brother. We created the email, right?
Yes.
We created the email, so that means the email came from thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and thought is another form of Tahuti. Toss. Go ahead.
Exactly. You see what I mean? So, the email is, I thought of this brother and now I'm seeing him.
Mm.
Wow. So then that'll double back to understanding why ether was taken off the periodic table in 1908. Yeah. And yet it's still used in their periodic table, but not the one they give us.
But that's the same for the elements. They call it the four elements. It's actually the five. Ether or spirit is the fifth element.
Yes.
Fire, air, earth, water.
It's the activation. They tried to wrap ether inside of fire, but fire is more related to air. Wow.
Correct.
Wow.
And ether is the substrate that all of them exist in.
Exactly. But since we took it off the periodic table, we no longer have to explain its schematics, its use, its purpose, and then from there, taking it into a scientific viewpoint, if it's never there to discuss.
And it prevents the mastery of time.
It does. See, that's why, if you really want to know. Oh, well, for the listeners, that's the reason why the ether was taken off the periodic table. And one of the most important things of becoming a practitioner is to be able to control time. You will not achieve that level without having this key lesson under your belt. And with that, this is Therapy Sessions with Spartacus Life. It was a blast. We're going to spin some music, and we're going to tap back in. It was a blast speaking with all my brothers tonight. We're going to come to an end for not long. We say it in some cultures as soon forward or when the sun rise. Until then, love is life, and life is love. You're listening to Therapy Sessions live with Spartacus Life. On the wire.